Hello, everyone, and welcome to Let It Fly Show, episode 18. I am your host, Aaron Makem. You can find more of this podcast at scifidig.com or comicbooknoise.com. You can contact me at scifidig@gmail.com. Yes, I realize it's probably kind of confusing that the Let It Fly podcast doesn't have a Let It Fly page, but that's just how it is. So I've been reading a lot of the conversion stuff, and I've been kind of excited because I've been wanting to talk about it a bit. And I was, for those of you that have follow my various hobbies, and I do have a lot of them, I had a fairly miserable fail at some metal casting this past week. I was trying to rush, which you should never do, and I poured a mold doing some lost foam casting, and I poured a mold, and I did not have enough metal. So what did I mold, you ask? Well, I'm a comic book geek, so naturally I was molding a Green Lantern symbol, and it was a really nice one too. I even took a lot of extra time when I made it. I made the symbol out of foam, and then I sanded it down to get all the edges just perfect. I mean, it was perfect, man. It was a thing of beauty, and I just did not have enough metal, and it cooled down too fast. So I got the center and two half circles, and it did not meet in the middle, and I was kind of ticked. So I'm going to back to the drawing board with that, which means I got to cut a whole another mold and sand it all down again. But I found out that cutting that symbol up to remelt it, gigantic pain in the butt, because giant chunks of aluminum are very hard to cut through. So anyway, so that's what I've been doing the past couple, well, last week I did that, and then I have been trying to read some conversions here and there. And I finally made it through. I've read it all. I think at this point, I think I've read everything that I've had, and I've enjoyed a lot of it. And I understand that it's coming under a little bit of criticism, and I think it's well deserved criticism. But I wanted to touch on the series proper briefly. I don't know if this is considered spoiler territory, seeing how everything's been announced for. And we've already started up with the DC's new books. But keep in mind, if you don't want to be spoiled at all with any of the conversion stuff, then maybe just skip this show till you kind of get caught up. I mean, I'm not going to go into detail, but just the fact that the series proper was 8 issues, and it could have been told in 1 issue, because basically all we did was reset the everything back to the multiverse, which is kind of what I wanted. I'm very excited about that. I will say that the story in the Convergence series proper, I enjoyed it. I would say, taken as a whole, on a scale of 1 to 5, I would give it a 3. I mean, the artwork and everything was phenomenal. We're just talking story here and what it means. You know, it was kind of drawn out. And again, by no means am I knocking it. I'm just saying that, you know, part of this, as we know, was to give employees an opportunity to move. So therefore, I'm pretty sure that they had to make it a little bit longer. But again, I'm not one of those podcasters that are in the know. I don't rub noses or rub shoulders or rub whatever of the creators in that universe. I just read the books, and either I like them or I don't like them. It's not that complicated. And I enjoyed it well enough. I'm just saying that it was kind of drawn out. Now, as far as the Convergence, the little 2-issue series that surrounded the event, I loved most of those. And yes, I know that those stories really went absolutely nowhere. But the whole point of those stories is to remind everybody of these characters. So you get to see characters that you might not have read in 5, 10, 15 years, might not have been around, as DC has done away with the multiverse, and then you know, we had all the crisis stuff, and then we had the new 52, and so these characters were not current. I can't say they were gone, because the stories are always there, but they were not current. And I felt as though that these 2-issue stories were just something to remind you. I think a prime example of this was Shazam, which had fantastic art, and I love the first issue. And I love the second issue, too. It ends, the ending of the issue, the last panel was the Shazam family in the sky. And, you know, him saying, I'm flying with my friends, my family. And I just thought that was fantastic. We get all his major villains, or, you know, variations of them to some degree. And I think the idea here is like, okay, you're going to read the Shazam story. This is to remind you of where Shazam's kind of at right now. They had an opportunity to go back and grab the best versions of a lot of these characters. Well, I don't know if they're the best, but clearly a lot of them are the most popular versions of these characters, and put them out there for people to read stories about and realize, you know, why they enjoyed these characters to begin with. And definitely the stories are not story-driven. They are definitely, it's all character-driven. It's all about the characters and, you know, what they're up to, what their drive is, what's going on. We kind of know the story. You read one issue of any of the two-issue ones, you know, they're dealing with the dome and all that, and that's that. But with these two-issue stories, we don't have to deal with a lot of story. It's about the characters. It reminds us of that. And I think that they did an excellent job in that arena. They definitely reminded me of some characters and, you know, rekindled that love I had. I've always been a huge Shazam fan. It's one of those characters that I enjoy the history of the character, like the comical nature. I enjoy it, but what I really liked was when they tried to make Captain Marvel a little more hardcore and a little more legit and less of the, you know, okay, we're going to go into battle, we're going to have, Talking Tiger falling behind us and everybody's going to take that in stride and things like that. A little less of that and a little more of the character and the magic that surrounds him and putting having real situations that, you know, that are more like a Superman or a Batman type of situation. Maybe not quite that dark, but that's the kind. I've always really enjoyed the character, and I like what they did there, and with that whole story, and some of the alternate realities. You know, the Plastic Man and Freedom Fighters, which is a book. I was like, I don't know if I'm gonna like this or not. And I read the first issue, and I'm very intrigued. And then you read the second issue, and it goes a little bit into his background, and you know how they came together and things like that. And I really, really love this book. There's a couple of these books that came out that really grabbed me and surprised me as to how much I enjoyed them. And that's one of them. Plastic Man and Freedom Fighters. I really was surprised at how much I liked this book and how much I enjoyed this book. Anyway, so you know we're past the conversion stuff, and we're in. And I am super excited as a fan of DC Comics for what's coming up. And, you know, I've managed to grab a few of the books. I can tell you right now, I'm just going to probably start falling woefully behind, excuse me, on my reading of these stories. There's just too much good stuff coming out, and I'm a huge independent reader. There's a lot of independent books I have coming out, that are coming out that I have been grabbing as sales came up and as I've come across them. But for me, the DC stuff, I'm excited for them doing something that I might be able to really enjoy. I mean, with me, DC is the history that I really enjoy. I enjoy the fact that there's this long history. And I know there's continuity problems. It doesn't really bother me so much. I can deal with, there being issues with continuity. And I can deal with them kind of glossing over this part, like we're supposed to forget it or whatever. It might come up again later on when it's convenient. I'm okay with that, you know. And the thing is now that we have the multiverse back, we can blame all that in the multiverse and say, well, you know, that was a variation of this character or whatever. So I'm kind of excited. I really want a Justice Society book, and I'm really hoping. Speaking of the JSA book, the Convergence JSA book, to me was the best book. You know, I kind of feel bad saying that I'm saying this is the best book because JSA is my favorite superhero team. But honestly, I swear that's not why I think it was my best book. I think it was the best book because it did the best job of showing what most of these two-issue offshoots of the main Convergence were about, which is about the characters. And JSA was all about the characters. Yeah, we had, in issue two, we had a battle scene where they had to fight, because obviously they're JSA, they had to go fight. But everything in the first book and three quarters of the second book was all about the characters. Now, this is where I'm going to spoil it, but this is what I loved about these books. And I'll come back to the current DC in a minute. I have a lot, it's been a couple weeks since I podcasted. I have a lot to say. Bear with me, people. JSA number one, they had the characters, man. They had them down they had them down. This is how I would see them. This is how I would see the characters. When a dome comes down and they start to age normally, and you know, you have Jay who can barely walk upstairs, and you know, the Flash, you know, you can barely walk, you know, and you have all this going on with these characters, and rather than being bitter, although there's some bitterness, you know, obviously if you go from having abilities and powers to not only that it does get taken away, but you're aging substantially. The characters did not look like themselves, they were so old. So you have that little bit of bitterness, but at the same point in time, these guys are like reflecting and saying, you know, basically, you know, like my feeling is that they were like, hey, we had a good run, you know, we had a good run here. And this is, you know, this hero game is going to be for the younger people, and they're trying to get, is it Infinity Inc. together to take over for them and do what needs to be done. And, you know, and these guys have been around for a long time. You know, they've been heroes for a long time, been doing this for a long time. And then the dome goes away. And Dr. Fate, who's in a coma, my brain's kind of scrambled. I just came off of a 7.5-mile run, and I'm during my cool-down phase here when I decided to try to record this. It's pardon me for stumbling over my words. Anyway, so, you know, when Dr. Fate is like, hey, you know, he comes out, if he's been in a coma this whole time, he comes out, and he's like, basically, we can do that. We got one more in us, you know. You know, we're not young, but we got one more in us. And they're willing to do what they got to do. So he, you know, uses his magic, and they are back to, you know, the original, you know, JSA original form, and they're ready to go to town and do what needs to be done because they are heroes and they're willing to put it all in a line. So they go from being heroes to kind of everything slowing down and them aging and not having anything to do and being kind of, some of them kind of settling begrudgingly into like a retirement issue and starting to grasp that and see what's going, you know, grasp the knowledge of that, but starting to settle into that, becoming a little bit comfortable with that, to, hey, you know, the world needs us, you know, I got one more in us, are we going to do this, are we going to step up to the plate? And I'm saying, yeah, we're going to do it, because that's who they are heroes, and that's why I love the JSA. And that was all like issue one. Then issue two, they have a battle and all that. But that the two issues encompass what I think JSA stands for. Because it, even with, you know, over the years with a lot, and keep in mind, by no means have I read all of JSA, but I feel as though when I read the stories, it is, there is less of the flawed hero type thing. Yeah, there's flaws, but not critical flaws. And a lot of these characters, and I understand where they're coming from, and I can appreciate it. And I feel as though these are my kind of heroes, so I really enjoyed that. Anyway, so back to the new week of DC, where we're out of Convergence, and we have some new stuff. And there's been I've read 3 books so far, and I'm going to try to read some more, but we'll see what happens. We'll see what my budget allows. But I took a chance on Green Arrow. My problem isn't that I don't... It's not that my lack of enjoyment of the new, younger Green Arrow. I enjoy it well enough. Honestly, and I almost hate to admit this, but it's the fact that there's a Green Arrow book and it's not the Ollie, you know, the classic Oliver Queen. Because I think that I enjoyed that character for a while, got away from Green Arrow for a while, and then right around the Green Arrow Black Canary timeline, like a little bit before that book, I was really getting back into it, really starting to enjoy it. And then we had the reboot, and as much as I enjoyed the young Ollie and you know, the takeoff on the TV show and all that, as much as I enjoyed that, I guess part of it is I felt kind of cheated. I felt as though they were taking the easy route because they had a TV show that got popular, so that's who they were kind of catering to. And I felt as though my Ollie kind of got cheated out of some story that he could have had. But I have to kind of let that go and roll with it. But Green Arrow picks back up at issue 41. And I read the first, like, maybe 12 issues when they did the reboot, and it was enjoyable. I mean, I there was parts of it I enjoyed, parts of it I didn't like, but ultimately it just became a matter of having too much to read. Something had to go. That was one of the books. I wasn't loving it. There was a lot of 52 stuff of the new 52 that I did not love, and I had to let a lot of it go because if I'm not liking it, I can always come back to it, you know? And that's what some people don't understand. It's like if they don't like it, they just keep on trudging through, then they start to hate it. I don't want to be there. Maybe I just need a little distance, you know, and then I'll come back and I'll read a story arc and be like, yeah, that's pretty good, you know, investigate it more. Anyway, this is a show of rat holes. So I took a chance and I was like, well, I'm going to try this again because the cover kind of grabbed me. And I read it, and man, I love this book. I loved it. It was a good starting point for people who just know that Oliver Queen is the Green Arrow and don't know a whole lot more. You start off right away with a mystery that he has to solve, and I felt as though I got pulled right in, and I cannot wait for the next issue of this story to see what happens, to see how all of this develops. The other book that I had read was Batman Beyond. I'm a huge Batman Beyond fan. I've loved Batman Beyond since I first saw the first issue of the cartoon, and I've picked up the various books over the years. I know I've missed some here and there. Was reading the Futures End stuff, probably 20 some issues in, and then it got away from me. And I, again, too much had piled up. And then what had happened is when I realized that they were going to do the conversion stuff and everything was going to kind of come together anyway, I was like, well, you know, I'll get back to this at a later time. I don't know if I'm going to go back to it now because obviously something happens big and I don't want to give any spoilers. And so Batman Beyond was a little bit of a surprise for me. But I'm really, I really enjoy what they did there. I like it. I want more of it. I don't want to spoil any of what happened, but suffice to say, there are certain characters, who are different and I did not expect that. So I want to find out what it all means, how it all comes together. And I like Batman Beyond because you had a lot of, characters from like an alternate reality kind of thing going on where you had these other characters. They brought everybody together that I did not expect to see there. And so I'm going to stick with that. Midnighter, read this, enjoyed it, I think. I'm a little bit lost about exactly what's going on. There are aspects of the book that I really enjoy, but I really did get lost in the story, and I'm hoping that it's intriguing enough that I want to discover more. I want to delve into it more, but I don't know. I'm going to have to wait for a couple of issues and see how it plays out. I'm kind of on the fence about this one. It seems kind of convoluted, but I just don't know enough about what's happening. And I feel as though, am I like the odd man out on this? Are there other people out there who have read this and are just like, I'm confused? Or is there more material leading up to this that somehow I've missed and I have no idea what's going on? I'm intrigued enough that I want to investigate it further, but I would say that if I get to issue 3 and I still am lost, then I'm just going to have to be lost. Omega Men, read this, and again, a lot of the same thing. I'm enjoying the story, I'm enjoying the art, I'm enjoying the action, lots of action, and still I'm a little lost. I'm not exactly sure what's going on. And again, clearly I've missed something building up to this, but this one I'm probably going to stay with because the action scenes alone will keep me reading. I really enjoyed the fight scenes. I really enjoyed the characters, although I'm having trouble remembering who all of them are, but hopefully as time goes on, they'll get more fleshed out and I'll have a better understanding of it. But Omega Men is one that I'm going to be sticking with. At least for the first story arc and see where it goes. Now, there's been a several independent books that I've purchased through Comixology and been kind of sitting here and have not had an opportunity to read. And, you know, I'm as bad with Comixology as I am with paper comics. You know, when I would go through a comic service and there was a sale, I would buy the stuff on sale because the price, I knew I would never get that price again. I knew it was something that I wanted to read, but I just kind of forget that there's only 24 hours in a day. That's my problem. You know, if the day was 50 hours long, I'd be much better off. But or if I didn't have to sleep, that'd be cool too. But what happens with Comixology, there's a sale, and especially with the independent stuff, because the independent stuff, honestly, it seems as though the sales come and go, and you might get a sale like maybe, you know, once every 3 or 4 months on something you're looking at. And I'm always like picking up some stuff I'm unfamiliar with. And if it's cheap enough, I'll give it a try. You know, Comixology had a really great bundle a while back that I talked about where they had like I don't know, like 30 books or something, and it was like $5. It was really cheap, and it was really great, and I ended up spending like another 25 after that, buying some of the other books because I enjoyed the story well enough. But I'm hoping for another one of those. But I picked up Hellbreakers. I've only read issue number one, and I'm sure that I'm gonna come back to this because I loved issue number one. Here's the thing, though. Again, there's so many characters in one issue, you don't have enough time to flesh them all out, so I had trouble following along with who was who. But what I liked about it, and it was one of those things where I read it, and I really enjoyed it, and it really hit me, and I couldn't figure out what it was about it, because I was like out of breath when I got done reading it. And I'm like, what is it about this that really, you know, has me like amped up? And it's because, you know, the basic premise of Hellbreakers is it is a team that goes into hell and breaks people out. So, you know, it's hell. And apparently there's a lot of different hells. You have people, they get hired, they're like mercenaries. They get hired and they go in and they find a person. We don't know how they find them yet or anything, and they break them out. And, you know, they use all kind of different means. I mean, they have artillery, there's magic involved, things like that. But what happened is I really like the art, but it's one of those art styles that can sometimes backfire when you're looking at a large scene, because they don't overly detail all the characters that are in the background because they're far away. But with this, the reason it worked and worked so well is that they go into hell, they're breaking out, and there is just commotion everywhere. I mean, it is just crazy what's going on. Demons are trying to kill you. These guys are shooting people. Things are blowing up. They're running out of time for this or that. They're going to set explosions. They got to find a door. They got to get the person they came after. They got injured people. And it's all chaos in these pages. And the way the art style works so well that the whole time I was freaking nervous. I'm like reading this and I'm like, I'm out of breath when I'm done. And I realize it's because this is exactly how this would look if you're watching it on TV. It'd be loud. There'd be explosions everywhere. The action would be so frenetic that you wouldn't be able to follow everything real clearly. But it's just paced well enough that you're able to follow the story. But, you know, you never know what's going to come out of left field or what's going to come, you know, you don't see in a panel it's going to come flying in or, you know, what next thing's going to happen. But it all came, I mean, it was just a really good first issue. And I had the other two there, and I just can actually, when I get done recording it, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to sit down and try to read the other two unless I get sidetracked with a different comic. But I really enjoyed that. I've picked up probably a dozen other independent books from Comixology over the past like week or so, or 2 weeks. There have been several sales that I have not had the opportunity to read yet, but I will be reading them and letting people know. It's just, I tell you what, it is a fantastic, fantastic time to be a fan of comics. And I've said this for the last 4 or 5 years especially, but now we're living in a time where not only do you have a bunch of different ways to read comics, you know, for a small budget. I mean, you can get the Marvel Unlimited app and get that, subscribe to that, and read to your heart's content. And you don't even have to read. They have a lot of smaller books on there that are a lot of fun and much different than the mainstream stuff going on. And that are more self-contained than what's going on. So you have all those. I mean, that's, you know, the most expensive $10 a month for all you can eat there. You know, you have Comixology. You have the Viz app. There's a half a dozen other comic book apps. I mean, Dark Horse's app has come a long way. Speaking of, I bought stuff on there when they had a huge sale a while back, and I haven't even touched yet. I have enough comics. I could probably read for 2 hours a day, every day for the rest of the year, and probably not clear out my digital. I just have so much stuff, and if it comes up for sale, I grab it up because I'm kind of hoping that, you know, before I die, but after I retire, I'll have days where everybody just leave me alone. I can just read all day, right? I'll be one of those grumpy little guys get off my porch. But there's just, not only do you have all these different ways to get comics, but all the comics out there, there's so much independent stuff. And, you know, I know that, I'm a big fan of not putting all my eggs in one basket. You know, even with Comixology, I mean, I know they carry the Viz stuff, but if I'm reading manga, a lot of times I just buy it from the Viz app. I like to spread my money around a little bit. I don't want to give any one company that much power. Comixology does have a good format down. They seem to have things down pretty well. Multiple ways to pay, easy ways to log in, sales all the time, you know, email notifications. They have all that stuff going on. But, you know, they're just their new submit is fun. I can go through there and just look and see what you know, what people are, you know, not what people, but what coming available, what people are submitting and what's available. Their ratings are okay. I wish that I know that it's hard to have a comment section, because you have to have somebody man that 24/7, because you're going to have some moron's going to go on there and call somebody names or something because they didn't like their book. They have a rating. I mean, you can rate with stars, but it doesn't really show me the breakdown. You know, I want to know if something got 4 out of 5 stars and there's 20 ratings. How many of those were 5-star? How many of those were 1-star? And the 1-star person, you know, what didn't they like about it? You know, it's not a matter of money. It's a matter of time. You know, when it comes to comics, it's a matter of this might be $1. This might be $2. I don't mind spending it on the book. But if it's something that I'm not going to like, then if somebody comes over and says, well, I gave this 1-star because the art style is like this, and, you know, later on in the book it's like this, and I really didn't like that. You know, you're not going to get that from a little preview there. So you want to know these things, and I wish that they had a better, very much like Audible or something like that, when they have their reviews, I find to be very helpful because they rate it on multiple things, you know. They rate it on story, on the reader and things like that. You know, I wish that there were a little bit better rating system in place and a little bit more community there. I wish there was a little more interaction or links to comments and stuff like that. So like, you know, the writer could set something up, or the artist, you know, or if somebody creates a book, the whole thing, that you could go there and have a conversation with them about it, you know, because I, you know, I find that, you know, when I find a good comic and I'm reading it and I kind of get lost in it, and, you know, I finish it and I get done and I'm thinking about it, and like, you know, 5 days later, I'm still thinking about it, or it comes to my mind and I'm like, well, I wonder if they did this, or I wonder if they did that, or man, that was a good story. I really, you know, got lost in that. I want to let that writer know. I want to say, hey, you know what, you know, I don't know you, but I read this thing you did, and man, I really enjoyed it. I just want to say thanks. You gave me my escapism for the day, you know, and, you know, apparently, you know, several days, because I keep thinking about it. It gave me something to think about, something to ponder, and that's what I like, you know. I know I get on here and I talk a lot about how I get frustrated with some of the social media out there, and yeah, I'm going to. It was funny. I did a show, and I was very bitter and angry, and I shouldn't have been. And I got an email from Vicious Smith, you know, that I felt was just kind of like, well, you know, basically you should just kind of stay away from that or whatever. And I'm like, you know, I'm trying very hard not to get sucked into some of the ridiculousness that goes on in social media. I find that, you know, I like to be able to go and look at drawings, and I love when I'm going and seeing people that have gone to cons and gotten commissions. I just love seeing that stuff, because as much as I enjoy the art, I like when people say, okay, I want a commission of these two completely unlikely things, but put them together, and then somebody does, and it works so well, and it just, I don't know, it puts a smile on my face. But the thing is that at the end of the day, as irritated I get with certain things, I find that a lot of the comic culture and geek culture, there's just so much love there, and so much appreciation for a lot of things. I mean, yeah, you have your group of people. You have the asshole factor, and you're always gonna have that in anything. It's as simple as that. You're going to have that in anything that you do in life. I don't care what your hobby or what your job is or what group of people you hang out with. You're always going to have that. There's not a way around that. It's always going to be there, and I'm just going to try very hard not to focus on that and try to be a better person for it. But I do appreciate when you know, I get together with comic people, whether it be in person or online, and we have a conversation about something, or somebody says, I don't care if it's something as simple as a panel where you're like, oh my God, did you see this panel? This is so freaking cool. I did not see this coming, you know. And in a comic book, it's a little bit harder when something happens as a surprise, because you don't have like all these other people that participate. It's like, it seems as though comic reading, you know, the percentage is much smaller than people watching an episode of The Flash where something great happens and you're like, oh my God, you know. I've been kind of straying away from The Flash, but As far as like commenting on it, but this is a two flash spoilers, so this is we're at the end, so you don't have to listen. But I'm going to blurt them out because it comes up all the time at my job. One of the guys there who I've introduced into comics, and who we both have a love for this stuff was, he's bringing up the episode of Flash when he's like, and he called him dad and he called him son in the last episode, and we bring it up every day. We see, he's like, did you see the episode where he called him dad and he called him son? It was just like one of those moments, and I was like, yeah, but did you see the episode when the costume came out of the ring? And it was one of those things that people don't really get that. I mean, there's people that watch the show that might think, man, that's cool. But as comic readers, we're just like peeing our pants with excitement. And that's how it was. The Flash is my must-see show. As soon as I watch it that day, I don't watch it live. I watch it on DVR because usually we're out and about doing something. But when I sit down, it's the first thing that I watch. And I was watching it, and my wife was trying to go to sleep, and that scene happens when he pulls up his hand, and the suit comes out of the ring, and I was sitting there, dead silence, and I'm like, oh my God, and she's like, what is it, and I'm like, it came out of the ring, and she's like, and I'm like, never mind, she's like, okay, you know, but it's one of those things where it's just like, if your comic reading buddy was there, you'd have been smacking him on her, hey, look, it came out of the ring, you know, it's those moments like that that get you super excited, and they're silly moments, but as somebody who enjoys something, you know, whether it's not a geek thing, it's just, I mean, it could be a football game, I guess, you know, somebody who enjoys something and you have like-minded people, those moments, they kind of bind you and, you know, remind you that you're of a similar mindset. Anyway, we're at 30 minutes. I will talk to everybody next time. SciFiDig@gmail.com is where you can contact me, and I appreciate any feedback. Until next time.